Well, good morning to each one. We greet you in Jesus' name. And we do want to look into the Word of God for some more teaching. And thankfully, this morning, we have a nice, cool morning to sit and focus on the Word of God. Now, this morning, for a message, I'd like to look at a man, an individual, and learn some lessons from his life. And I'd like to talk about one of the men whose conception was announced by an angel before he was born. There are four of them in the Bible. Can someone name them to me? Making you think too hard already. I still didn't catch it.
Samson.
Well, you got it right away. That's the one I want to talk about. The other ones were Sarah, Elizabeth, and Mary. All heard from an angel about young little ones that were coming into their lives. Samson. The strong man that couldn't say no. Turn to Judges chapter 13. We're going to talk about this strong man that couldn't say no. And that's one of the feature that we think about the most of Samson. I don't know what he looked like, but the Bible talks about him being the strongest man. And when you look at the feats that he did in his life, it's amazing what he was able to do. And his name is used even yet today on many different things. We have, in my business, we have a company that makes ropes, and the name of the company is Samson Ropes, because they believe that what they have is strong, and they want people to think of it that way. Now, Samson lived under the Old Covenant, and we understand there's a difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Here, God was preserving a seed. He wanted faithful people so he could bring a redeemer. And both in the Old Covenant and also in the New Covenant, the key to a relationship with God is a faith and trusting God. The just shall live by faith. We heard that already this morning. And Samson, he wavered in this just a bit. I like to read most of Samson's life. Starting at Judges chapter 13, the first chapter here, thinking about Samson's family, where he came from and his parents. And if you're old enough to read, you're old enough to follow along. And you can hopefully find Judges in your Bible and read along with us. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me he his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing. For the child should be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him? And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine. Neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I command her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee, until we have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name? And when thy sayings come to pass, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is a secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received the burnt offering and the meat offering at our hands, neither would he have shown us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Let's just stop here and think about Samson's parents and who they were. It's interesting reading about different details here. You could tell they were God-fearing people. They would not have been happy. None of the Israelites were happy about the Philistines being in control, but they were living under that. And the Lord saw fit to appear unto his mother, Samson's mother, but it was not God himself, I don't believe. It says it here, it was an angel. I think that was the reason that the angel was so strong in not allowing them to know his name and not allowing them to know to offer to him. He said, you can bring something, but this is going to be a burnt offering to God, not to me. Angels were always very careful to make sure that they didn't receive honor from people. They were only messengers. And I think that is true to us today, especially to those of the Catholic faith, where they want to honor all kind of spiritual beings instead of just honoring God. Let's make sure we only honor God and not the messenger. They were careful. They had a fear of God, a proper fear of God. They wanted to know everything that God wanted them to know about this, how to raise this child. They were careful to be educated, and they wanted to work together in this. I don't believe that Manoah just wanted to know that he just wanted to see an angel. I don't think that's just what it was about. I think he really wanted to know, because a Nazirite vow was a very special vow. And if you turn back to Numbers chapter 6, he talks about this here. The whole chapter talks about it. I'll just read the first couple of verses if you want to learn more about the Nazirite vow. It gives it here in a little bit more detail. And they had the law. I suppose he could have went to the law and read about it. But it was a little bit unusual that he was telling this woman that she had to abide by the vow as well until the child was born. Numbers 6, verse 1, The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazirite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine, nor vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried, so no raisins. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree, from the kernels even to the husk, not even a trace. All the days of the vow of his separation, thou shalt no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled, in which he separateth himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of his hair of his head grow. All the days that he separateth himself unto the Lord, shall he come at no dead body, neither shall he make himself unclean for his father or for his mother or for his brother or for his sister when they die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of his separation is holy unto the Lord. if a man die very suddenly by him, and he keeps going there. But this, the main things here were nothing of the vine, do not shave your head, no cutting of your hair at all, and not coming at a dead body. And that's interesting going into the rest of Samson's life. Well, we'll pick up on that in the next chapter. But you can see here, the parents were very careful to obey the direction of the angel in raising Samson. And you see that more as you go into the rest of Samson's life, how they cared so much about their son. And it seems like Samson had a relationship, a special relationship with his parents, because he consulted with them before he went to look for a wife, told them how he felt, and they tried hard to change his mind. Also notice here that Samson's parents were unselfish. There may have been a certain amount of stigma as they let their child's hair grow longer and longer and longer, and people were trying to understand how you could make a vow for your child. In Numbers, the vow was for yourself. Why are they making a vow for their own child? But they received it from the Lord. Also, you see that they gave the angel food. Food was not easy to come by. You had to work a lot harder for it than we do today. Now we just go to the store. There, they worked a lot harder for it. Didn't have modern machinery to make it. And they gave it to God, offered it unto him. Let's look at chapter 14, moving on through Samson's life. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father nor mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her. And he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother. And he gave them and did eat them, and they did eat. But he told not them which he had that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. For so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you. If ye can certainly declare me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. But if ye cannot declare it me, ye shall give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while the feast lasted. And it came to pass on the seventh day that he told her, because she lay sore on him. And she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon. and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garment unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. And in this section, this passage here, we see Samson falling just a bit, falling a bit from the vow that was made for him and that he took as well. And he started to slip and not become quite the man that he was in his younger years. I thought it was interesting that he did not brag about the killing of the lion or make a big deal about it initially. You could look at that as modesty or humility on Samson's part. He didn't go tell. But I think maybe it was just a bit more than that. I don't know what all dead bodies he wasn't supposed to be around. Certainly not dead people because of his vow that he had made. But probably not a lion carcass that was rotting for months. I don't know how long it was there rotting, but long enough that bees had moved in, and he reached in there and took some of the honey out, but he didn't tell his parents. And I think that's noteworthy, the fact that they had a relationship where they talked, but here he didn't tell them everything that was happening in his life. But that was quite a feat, to catch a wild animal like that and tear it with your hands and slay it. And I know some young men that like to brag about the harmless deer that they are able to conquer. An animal that will run away from you. But imagine an animal that comes charging at you and that's used to killing everything in sight. And he takes a hold of it and tears it in half just with his hands. Well, Samson went down that path a bit farther. He wanted a wife. He wanted that wife no matter what. He didn't care what the rules were. And there was a number of, there was a couple of rules that God had given in the law about them not marrying the heathen around them. But God was ready to use this for the advancement of his people. And so he allowed Samson to do this, and he was ready to use it. But his parents did not realize that. But it still wasn't right for Samson to do it. We don't ever see him here asking God why he feels this way and if he should do this. He just said, "Get her for me. I want this woman." Well, it cost him. It cost him more later. He went and gave these men a riddle. He thought this was pretty clever about this lion. And it was a clever riddle. And he gave this riddle to them. And these men probably thought, 30 to 1, we can easily figure out this riddle. And the week went on and on and on, and suddenly they realized they were at the last day, and there's nothing they could do about this. Well, I don't know if they had waited till the last day to get on his wife, but they begged her and said, "You brought this man down here. You chose us to be his friends because you knew that he was going to give us a riddle, and then you were going to make us pay all this up. This isn't fair. Why are you treating us this way? We're going to take revenge. We're going to burn your house down and your father. We're going to do whatever we need to get even with you for this." And so she made him tell her the riddle. And Samson kept his end of the bargain. Thought that was interesting. But when it came down to it, he got angry about it and he went out. And instead of going out and buying or in some other way getting the garments, he went and slew 30 men and took what they had and gave it to them. I'd like to move on into Judges chapter 15. And I was planning to read all of this. It looks like we may get a little short on time, but let's at least read chapter 15 here. "And it came to pass within a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, 'I will go in to my wife into the chamber.' But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, 'I verily thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her.' Samson said concerning them, 'Now shall he be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure.' And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, took firebrands, turned tail to tail, put a firebrand in the midst between the tails, and when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines and burned up both the shocks and also the standing corn with the vineyards and olives. And the Philistines said, "Who hath done this?" And they answered, "Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because he hath taken his wife and given her to his companion." And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. And Samson said unto them, "Though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease." And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, and went down and dwelt on top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah, and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, "Why are ye come up against us?" And they answered, "To bind Samson are we come up, to do to him as he hath done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Etam and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? And what is this that thou hast done?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so I have done to them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hands, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire. And his bands loosed off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass and put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and came on the Lord, and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God gave cloven hollow that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he came the name, called the name thereof En-Kahor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Well, continuing in the way of the transgressor only brings deeper and deeper trouble. And probably verse 11 is a key to his life at this point. He said, "As they have done unto me, so have I done unto them." You see him falling more and more to his own selfish nature and not being able to tell himself no. The next blow that he gave to the Philistines, was it really God's will, or was it just Samson's selfishness, his meanness that was doing this? I wasn't sure. It doesn't sound so much. It sounds more and more like he was just angry, and so he took things in his own hands. Caught 300 foxes and tied them together and sent them out burning. Can you imagine that sight? If you go into wheat fields, and we don't live as much in agriculture community here. Some of you do a little more than others. But if you take acres and acres and acres of wheat and you turn them on fire, what do you think that looks like when it's dry? Well, that becomes quite a roaring fire. Read recently of 70,000 acres of wheat or something that was burned, caught fire. And that's a pretty amazing sight when that happens. But it made the men very, very angry, and they came up against him. And Samson, he just did what God left him do and destroyed them. And then he went and lived on a rock on a high place, I guess, so he could see everywhere. And the Israelites, the Philistines came across against the Israelites, and they became so concerned, they went up to see Samson, and not just one or two of them. I thought it was interesting that 3,000 men went to see Samson. I don't know if they were scared of him or what. And he said, "Now make sure you don't kill me, but go ahead and tie me up and give me to them." And that's what they did. Well, that was a joke, because as soon as he got there, he ripped off the cords and grabbed the bone that was laying on the ground as a weapon and slew them. Well, in chapter 16, we find the end of Samson's life, and it didn't bode very well for him. Here in this story, he goes back down to Gaza, and there was a harlot there. He went into this harlot, into the city, at night, and they saw, the Philistines saw him come, and so they locked up the city, and they weren't going to let him out again. Samson wakes up later in the night. He gets up and goes out and just lifts the gates right up out of the ground, posts and all, threw them on his shoulders, carried them up to a hill, and set them up there, and waited for them. And the Philistines, of course, were amazed. It's amazing that he was able to do this. How strong was Samson? Samson was as strong as what God wanted him to be. That's how strong he was. And we'll pick up again on that later. But Samson was very weak in another way. He went back down again, and he found this woman named Delilah. Couldn't tell himself no. And went into this woman. And verse 5, the Philistines offer to give her money, a lot of money. Each one of them was going to give her 1,100 pieces of silver. And I guess that was individually, maybe it was collectively, but they were going to give her a lot of money if she told him. In chapter 16, verse 6, Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." So they came in, tied him up, and she said, "Samson, Philistines be upon thee." And he jumped up, and of course, it was a joke, threw them off, chased the Philistines out of there. And Delilah said, "Behold, thou mockest me." And so she begged him again, and he said, "Take brand new ropes that were never used and tie me up." They must have forgot when they went down up to the rock, and he tied him up that time. And they came in again, and he burst the ropes off and tore off after them. And she said, "You mock me again." But we see Samson starting to slip, because then he says, "Well, take the 7 locks of my head and weave them together, that will take my strength from me." He started to let it slip where his strength was, the fact that he had a vow. And so she did that. And the weaver's beam was pretty heavy, but he woke up in the midst of it and jumped up, weaver's beam and all, and didn't mean a thing. Didn't matter that someone was pulling all his hair with a lot of weight. We know it hurts when someone pulls your hair. Didn't mean anything to Samson. Tore out of there. But then the last time, verse 18, Delilah, verse 17, "He told her all his heart and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I will become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called forth the lords of the Philistines. She told him, "This time we got him." And sure enough, they had him this time. Verse 20, "When he awoke out of his sleep, he said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him." He said, "I'm going to jump up just like I always have, and it's not going to mean anything." See, at this point, Samson had slipped so far, he was deceived. He didn't even know that God wasn't with him anymore. This was deception. But sure enough, the Philistines grabbed him, and he could do nothing about it, overpowered him, and they poked his eyes out and stuck him in prison, and they made him turn in the stocks and grind grain for them. You know, when we allow carnality into our life, we don't notice after a while that the spirit leaves, and we allow it more and more. But just looking at Samson's death here yet, the people made, after a while, they made a great feast, and they were praising their god, Dagon, their god, their idols, that they had got this enemy that tormented them, and they were had this great feast about it. And in verse 25, they said, "Call for Samson." And when their hearts were merry, they said, "Call for Samson, that he may make us sport." And they called for Samson out of the prison, and he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that led him by the hand, "Suffer me, that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." He said, "Give me the main pillars of the house. I want to stand right in the middle of everybody." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. That was just on the roof, and also inside the house. And they beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, he prayed, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines from my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, of the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And his brethren came, and they buried him. Well, there's always opportunity for redemption. And God gave Samson one more opportunity. He said, you can do one more thing for me here. And Samson prayed and asked God for the strength to do it, knowing that it would mean his own death. And he pulled the house down, and there were more of the enemy were slain in his death than were in his life. How strong was Samson? Samson was as strong as what God needed him to be. He was strong enough. But spiritually, he was very, very weak man. Very weak man. Even into his last days, up until the end. And then he finally found strength. And he's named in Hebrews chapter 11, in the faith chapter. So we believe that he probably is in glory because of his last act of faith in God. What can we learn from Samson? First of all, God works with the will of man. God allows man to make choices that influence himself and also other people, both in time and also in eternity. He allows us to make choices. He doesn't give us all a perfect life. We're not Adam and Eve in the garden anymore. But he allows us to make choices and other people to influence us. Second thing I see here is that there is a law of sowing and reaping, that the choices that we make will affect other people and will affect us in the future. And we can know what will happen in the future to us because of what we have done in the past. Never pays to walk away from godly principles. Never pays to walk away from it. There's a reaping that will come. The third thing I see here is that it's never too late to start over. As long as there's life, there's hope, we say. It's not too late to start over, however badly we have failed in the past. You can put your faith and trust in God today and ask for him to be involved in your life. Surrender yourself to him. And number four, God can use us in spite of our failures. Doesn't matter about our past. Our past can be taken care of. Our past can be forgiven of. We've done things we shouldn't have done. We can ask forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And God does not give up on us. You know, Samson had a promise on his life. God had given him a promise. It was a vow. But he loved the world. And too often, that's how it is in our lives. There's a promise on our life. We can be a child of God. But too often, we fall into our addictions. We fall into our flesh. We want to do what the body wants us to do, and we give in to that. God had a lot planned for Samson's life. I wonder what all God would have done if Samson hadn't been so selfish. But no, God worked with what he had. Great strength in one area of our life doesn't make up for weakness somewhere else. Sometimes we like to think about what a good person we are, and we compare ourselves with other people. The Bible says don't compare yourselves among yourselves, because then you begin to justify yourself where you shouldn't. That's the principle. But no, we're not real strong somewhere, so we can be weak somewhere else. Well, I'd like to talk a bit about the things that we can't say no to. Talk about our addictions just a little bit, and I need the children to help me here. I brought a bag along this morning, and I brought some things in the bag. And these are probably lessons to adults more than they are lessons to children. But I want some of you children to come up here and reach into this bag. You can feel around a little bit if you want. And then, but pull it out. Pull something out and show it to us. And we're going to talk about how the strongest people sometimes can't say no. Who wants to come up and pull something out of this bag? Tyler. One at a time. Now don't look yet. Just reach in and pull something out. What is it? Alarm clock. Thank you. You may go sit down. Some of the strongest people can't say no to this. I don't know about Samson, if he slept in a lot or not. But on Sunday mornings, we try to get up and go to church, right? We want to make sure we feed our spiritual life. Sometimes when it comes to Monday morning, it's time to get up and have enough time to at least say a prayer or to read some verses. We can't get out of bed. How strong are we? Somebody else come up. Judson, why don't you come up? I think I have about 10 things in here. Don't look in. Just read them. Pull something out. Uh-oh. What am I doing with this? Addictions. You may go sit down. Addictions. I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes. And we have things a lot smaller than this. But I saw that yesterday when I was working somewhere, and I thought it fit right in with what we're talking about this morning. The things that are so hard to give up, that we need to give up. Somebody else come up here. Landon, watch you come. I think you're the third hand going up. Do with being able to tell ourselves no. Anybody want to explain it? I know, you know, that's my pet peeve. So I'll just be quiet on that one. Layton, why don't you come up here? What's that? That's a phone. Think Samson could have laid this thing down? Well, we're talking about addictions and being able to tell ourselves no and keeping things in their place. Remember what life was like before we had these? Hey, the girls want a chance? Deanna, why don't you come up? Should give a few girls a chance. Baseball, that's right. Sports is a big God in our world today. Hopefully not so much in the church. But a lot of people spending time this afternoon. I don't know why they made Sunday a fun day, but a lot of people spending time this afternoon watching television. A race, a game, football, baseball, whatever it may be. It can be really, really hard to give that up once you get started. You want to see who won or who did what. But you know, it's always changing. It's endless. It never will satisfy. Any other girls want to reach in here? Charlotte. What's this? It's meant for pills. You can sit down. A pill bottle. I don't know what all medications we might be addicted to this morning. Hopefully not too many. But that can be something that we have to find where to put it in its place. Where is our faith and trust? Do we put it in God, or do we need that pill to keep us under control in our lives? Lindsay, you had your hand up. Reach in there and pull something out. Okay, you stay here for a little bit. Let me set this thing. Maybe you picked the wrong thing. Whoops. You want to put your finger in that for me? Why not? It hurts, right? You may guess it down. I'm not going to make you stick your finger in that. I talk about fears just a little bit. Fears. Some people are addicted to fears. Can't lay them down. Controls their life. Can't put it in its place. And there's a lot of things to be scared about. But most all of them are pointless. And then the things that happen to you, you didn't even worry about. You didn't even know were coming. So let's not let our fears get a hold of us and control our life. Put them in their place where they belong. Oh, I have four more things. Somebody had more than I thought I had. Little man back here waiting in the lobby. Come up here. That's for the ladies. How much of this do we need? Maybe I should have put a shoe in there or a sweater. Can we tell ourselves no at some point? How much do we need? You know, when we, the more we take of stuff, the less there is for other people. And that's true with anything. I found it interesting. It was an interesting thought. I think it was in the Companions one time where it talked about food and how the less you eat makes more of a surplus for other people. And I thought, oh, it doesn't make a difference. But you know what? It actually does make a difference. The more demand, the more we take, the less there is for other people. But in thinking about something like this, I don't know how big our closets need to be. We need to be like Samson, tell ourselves no at some point. Who else wants to reach in here? Karsten? Okay, what's that? That's a card. You know what kind of card that is? Well, it's important to a lot of people. You may go sit down. I'm not just going to drive a car. That would be a Porsche. Porsche is pretty important to some people. But that can creep in pretty close to us too. Do we know how to tell ourselves no, or don't we? Are we the weak one when it comes down to it? We just, yeah, well, I don't want to make anybody upset here. There's two more things in here. Forget your name.
Trading.
Money. Can we tell ourselves no, or can't we? What place does it have to play in our lives? You know, there's some very rich people around that nobody else knows how rich they are. And there's some people around that aren't so rich. People think they're a lot richer than what they are. They don't know how to tell themselves no when it comes time to buy. And that applies whether we have lots of money or whether it's credit. Let's think about that. One more thing to do. Keziah. Can't use everybody this morning. This is actually for the boys. Down in the corner. Feel it? Okay. Boy. What does this have to do with this? Not talking about non-resistance. We're talking about hunting. Will you boys tell me what it is? You might even know what number's on the bottom of that thing just by looking at it. Well, we need moderation in all of these things. I'll just read you a couple more verses. We don't have to turn to these, but you can write down the reference. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Why does this matter? What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why does it matter? We are the temple of God. We are to be his light and his witness in the world today. And so whatever we have, whatever comes into our life, we need to try to use to his honor and glory. Romans chapter 14, verse 7 and 8. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. How many times does he have to say it in a row for us to get the point? We are God's. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we may be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And we could keep reading there as well. There's quite a few verses to read the whole chapter of Galatians 2. But he says here, you want to be born again. You want to be saved. You want to be on the right path. You want to go to glory. And if you turn again and you do all the things you're saved from, that's not why Jesus died for us. He didn't die for us so we can go right back out and sin again. He died for us so we can be delivered. Why do we want to go be a transgressor again? And also, chapter 6, verse 16, of Romans, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Whose servant are we? Well, there was a couple more verses we could read, but we're out of time here. The question is, how serious are we in our commitment to Christ? What all are we willing to lay down? We are going to get out of balance in these areas from time to time. We may learn to put the spoon down and later on we have trouble with it again. We may get over some fears and later on have more fears. I don't know if we'll ever get over learning where to put the cell phone or not. But it is a struggle and it is something that we will continue to struggle with. But let's not be like Samson and be overcome. But let's rather be overcomers. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we kneel in your presence this morning. And we come to you, Lord, because we need you. We realize that we are weak, that we are sinners, that we in ourselves have not the power to live above sin. But we know that through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us, that you give us power. You release us from the guilt of sin. You release us from the stain of sin. Yes, we know there is a certain amount of reaping, Lord, that goes with the sins that we have committed in our past. But Lord, we thank you for taking away so much of it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us deliverance in our lives. But help us, Lord, give us strength every day that we don't go again and go back to wallowing in the mire again like a pig. But after we're clean, that we would stay free from it. Help us, Lord, to say no to the temptations of sin, to say no to the addictions that were a part of our lives. Help us, Lord, to crucify the flesh. And to do it because we love you and because we want to be a witness to the world. We want to be a testimony. We want to show others that we have been with Jesus and the deliverance that they can have. Help us, Father, to be bold this week as we go from these doors and we go out and meet friends, co-workers, people we've never met before, strangers, Lord. Help us in each one of our situations to be ready and willing to be a witness of you and your word and the deliverance that we can have. So, Father, I pray that you be with each one of us, especially our young people, especially our children, as they grow up and learn about truth, that they too would long for deliverance and find a way to be in your Son. So go with us, we pray, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.